So I encourage you to go ahead and take your Bibles, open them up to Mark's Gospel. We're going to close out chapter 1. We're going to look at actually verses 29 through 45. I'm entitled this morning's message, The Compassionate Servant. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you. We thank you, Lord, that we can look at your word and, Lord, you want to speak to us. We can look at it in its historical context. We could learn some biblical truths. And, Lord, you could speak to us in whatever circumstance we are in life, because your word is alive and active. So I pray that you'll be glorified through your word. And, Lord, your people, their hearts will be prepared to receive. In Jesus' precious name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Beginning in verse 29, let me just read the section to you, the whole section. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew and James, with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed, that is Jesus, many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen along while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as they had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And strictly he warned him, and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests, and offer for your cleansing these things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. If you've been with us, the theme of this Gospel of Mark is that Jesus is the servant. The servant, he said, "I didn't come to be served, but to serve." That was Jesus's mission. And last week we looked at the authority of Jesus as the servant, where he spoke with authority to the people. And he exercised authority over unclean spirits. Now this morning, as we close out chapter 1, we're going to see the compassion of the servant. We're going to see Jesus himself showing compassion as God the Son, the servant, to the people. And there's a lot to apply to our own hearts as we look at the heart of the Savior, that is the compassionate Savior. I've broken down these last verses into three sections. and 3 points. And the first point this morning is on the screen. It is the compassion of Christ on the sick, beginning in verse 29. Look with me back to verse 29. It says, "Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother-in-law lay sick with fever, and they told him about her at once." Last week, if you were with us, verse 9 tells us that they had left the synagogue. Jesus preached in the synagogue at Capernaum, and he went ahead and shared a message with the people there. And after sharing his message, there was a man that had an unclean spirit, that is a demonic spirit. Jesus sensed that, and he cleansed this man with a demonic spirit. And after leaving the synagogue, the verse 29 picks up that they left the synagogue and then they went into the house of Simon. This would be Peter, whom he had called to follow him. And in the text, it tells us that he came with James and John, two brothers. So all four of them enter into Peter's house. And notice in verse 30, it says that Simon's wife's mother, that's his mother-in-law, lay sick with fever, and they told him about her at once. Notice with me, it says that Peter was married. It's important to understand that Peter himself, who is following Jesus, left everything behind to follow Jesus, was married. This flies in the face of Peter being the first pope who was not married. Being raised in the Roman Catholic Church and Roman Catholic theology, we were taught that Peter, the first pope, was never married. And successions of popes after Peter, hence, were not married either. That is not true biblically. Peter was married. And also, we are told by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, that Peter also brought his wife along with him during his missionary journeys. So we see in the text, it is crystal clear that Peter is married. And notice as well that Peter's mother-in-law lived with Peter in his house. This is fascinating, and this tells us a little bit about Peter and that Peter honored his parents, even at an older age. What a great example for us in the 21st century to honor our parents. More than likely, Peter's mother-in-law's husband passed away, and they more than likely took his mother-in-law into the home. Well, why not honor our parents today? The culture may say, big deal. I left the house. My parents are there. I am here. Who really cares? I'll just go there once in a while to say hello and maybe go there on a Sunday after the day is gone and have a meal with them. No, we're to honor our mothers and fathers, whether they are saved or not, as parents. Why? Because the Lord wants us to do this based on the Old Testament and wants us to continue to honor our parents even in the 21st century, despite what the culture says. If you're with me, say amen. Honoring your parents is something that we do till they die. And the text tells us in verse 30 that his mother-in-law, that is Peter's mother-in-law, had a fever. Luke's gospel in verse 4 gives us a little more detail and says that she had a high fever. More than likely, his mother-in-law would have died from this fever. It was severely at a high rate. And look with me at verse 31. Jesus begins to come on the scene. And it says that, so he, that is Jesus, came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her and she served them. Notice Jesus, the compassionate Savior, went ahead and healed his mother-in-law of this high fever. Why? Because Jesus is a compassionate Savior. Jesus expressed compassion to meet Peter's mother-in-law who had a high fever. More than likely, again, on the brink of death. And notice that Jesus instantly healed her. That's what the text says. Jesus' healings were complete and they were completely healed. Whenever Jesus laid hands on somebody or touched someone, he brought immediate full healing. And the reason why I say this is because today you will hear of these so-called faith healers who will lay hands on somebody and they'll say, well, you know, Jesus healed immediately, but that doesn't always happen. And let me tell you something. When Jesus healed, he healed immediately and completely. And by the way, there's no such thing as a faith healer. They are the gifts of healings that God may grant to anyone. We don't follow, and we'll talk about it later, we don't follow healers. We follow the one who heals. If you're with me, say amen. It's important to catch that despite what's happening in our world. And notice at the end of verse 31, she served him. She served them in the house. Hospitality was paramount in that culture. But this woman who had a severe high fever immediately rose from her healing. And because she's so grateful, she began to serve the people. She served those in their house. I love that. She had a grateful heart. Who wouldn't be grateful if you had a high fever to the point where you're delusional, more than likely, and were about to die? She was absolutely grateful. And she served the people. So we see this first event that takes place, the healing and the compassion of Jesus on someone who is sick. Then the story takes another angle into another direction. Look with me at verse 32. It says, at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at his door. So you begin to get a massive crowd here. It says at evening. More than likely what took place is that the Sabbath ended. That's how the days worked back then. When the evening came, when the sun set, the day was over. The Sabbath was over. And on the Sabbath, basically you didn't work. You stayed at home. You enjoyed the time with your family. You enjoyed friendship. You enjoyed fellowship. You enjoyed a great meal. And you rested from your work. The sun sets, and what takes place? It says, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. You could imagine the scene here. People begin to flock at Peter's home because more than likely two events took place. We saw basically when Jesus casted out the demonic spirit out of that man in the synagogue, when the Sabbath ended, the crowd began to say, let's find this Jesus. And then, of course, Peter's mother-in-law comes forth and is healed, and she more than likely was grateful and served and began to tell the neighbors, wow, man, Jesus healed me. So you have this huge crowd in front of Peter's home. And notice the text says you have sick people, and it says, and those who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. This tells me something here, that there's a difference between being sick and demonic beings. Not all sickness comes from the devil. You got to catch that. That's what the text says. They're distinctly different. Now, I will tell you, sometimes sickness can come from the enemy, but not always. Not always. When did sickness first start? It started at the fall. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, sickness and disease entered the world. So not all sickness is from the devil. Don't let false preachers and them say, well, you got a demon that's coming along and you better bind that thing because every sickness is from the devil. That's not true. That's not biblical. Sometimes it can happen. But most of the time, it's because of the fall of man. Notice Mark makes a distinction between the two in verse 32. And the whole city gathered together at the door. Mobs of people in Capernaum begin to gather at Peter's door. And look at verse 34. And it says, and he, that is Jesus, healed many who were sick with various diseases and casted out demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Jesus healed all kinds of people there at Peter's front door. Massive crowds of people. Jesus was not discriminate concerning those who came to the door, those who decided to follow him, or those who haven't heard or maybe decided not to follow him. Jesus healed them of sickness and disease. If you're with me, say amen. What is this telling us? This is telling us specifically that Jesus is fully compassionate on the saved and the lost. It's important to catch this. Jesus is God in the flesh, fully God. And he expresses compassion on everyone by healing them. God shows common grace to mankind, whether his followers or not. Why? Because God by nature is compassionate. And he's compassionate in the person of Jesus Christ. It's important to see that even from our own perspective on lost people. We don't just show compassion to Christians. We show compassion to everybody because Jesus was compassionate on everyone. See the application there? That's what we are to do. We are to be compassionate people because God is compassionate and God is loving. Now you got to look at this, and Jesus' new disciples, those who started following him, had to be like blown away by this. Could you imagine being a follower of Jesus Christ and his ministry, and you see Jesus demonstrating compassion and healing all kinds of people? This had to have a profound effect on his new followers. Amazing event. I love that. And it's going to continue in verse 35. So we look at our first point this morning, the compassion of Christ on the sick. Let's look at our second point, the compassion of Christ to all men. After this event, look at me at verse 35. It says, now in the morning, having risen along well before daylight, he, that is Jesus, went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. So after this event, where tons of people are at Peter's door, Jesus does the miraculous. He heals people, but then he breaks away to spend time with the Father. The prayer, and you got to catch this, is application. Prayer was a priority in Jesus' life. Prayer was a priority. Jesus broke away to a quiet place to spend time with the Father. Do we spend time with the Father? Do we spend time in prayer? Do we get alone with the Father? Do we get alone from the mobs, if you will, of society, our circumstances in life that sometimes can be overwhelming? Do we break away like Jesus and spend time with Him? It's so important to spend time with the Lord, alone in our prayer closet with the Father. Jesus does this in preparation for His ministry because He depended on the Father each and every day. He's going to have people come to Him moment by moment, day by day, and Jesus prepares His heart in line with the Father and asks for wisdom and guidance in His ministry. So should we as His children. It's so easy just to get up and do our daily activity. Go to bed at night. Get up again. Do our activities. Go to work. Go to bed. Now I lay me down to sleep. Oh, Lord. No, Lord wants more than that. Lord wants us to spend time with Him. Spend intimate time in our prayer closet. This is not a guilt trip. This is just a conviction that should convict us all. Spend time with the Father. God wants to hear from you. God wants to speak to you in prayer. Prayer was a priority in our Lord's life. It should be a priority in ours as well. Verse 36, and Simon, that's Peter, and those who were with him searched for him. They don't know where he's at. And when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. They're searching for Jesus. Man, he did these incredible miracles. He healed people. He cast out demons. Where's Jesus? And notice Peter is the first one who leads the search party. This is great because Peter is going to ultimately, when Jesus has his apostles, he's going to be the leader of his apostles. You could see leadership qualities already in Peter before he's actually selected as the 12 to lead and go out into the world. Peter's already in leadership responsibility before the calling. And he's with a bunch of people looking for Jesus. He's saying, everyone's looking for you. Where are you, Jesus? Peter, I'm sure Peter, as a young disciple, is saying, wow, Lord, we want to see more healings. We want to see the miraculous. Wow, you're the Messiah. You're the one. We're so excited you've come because the Old Testament says that Messiah in Isaiah chapter 35 will come and he will do the miraculous. He will do many healings. You're the one. We want to see more of this. Jesus, we're excited you're here. Look at Jesus' response in verse 38. And this is because Jesus spent time in prayer. He says, but he said to them, that's Jesus, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also because for this purpose I have come. Wow. Jesus says, look, I've done a lot of healings here. I've preached here. We need to move on, Peter. Jesus knows that people are coming to him more for the healings than for the preaching. Preaching, when it comes to Jesus' ministry, the preaching of the gospel, the teaching of who he is, disciple making, and healings go together. He just didn't come in and heal people without preaching. They went hand in hand. Jesus is like, okay, now they're seeking for the healings more than they are my teaching. I'll come back later. Right now, guys, we're going to have to go into another town and continue teaching or preaching the gospel, the good news, and also heal as well. Look at verse 39. It says, and he was preaching, there he goes, in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee and casting out demons. Jesus leaves Capernaum, and he begins to go into towns and villages, and he begins to preach throughout Galilee, preaching the gospel of the good news, and also healing people. Jesus continues to spread the good news of who he is throughout Galilee. Jesus continues to minister. He'll be back in Capernaum. He'll be back because, as I mentioned last week, that was his headquarters. Jesus did probably more healings in Capernaum than anywhere else in Israel because that was his headquarters there. So Jesus continues in Galilee. And then it leads to our third and final point this morning, the compassion of Christ on the outcast. And this is beautiful, guys. Look at me at verse 40. It says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" You have a leper, someone who has leprosy, a skin disease, imploring him, pleading with Jesus, and he even goes down to his knees, kneeling down to him. "If you're willing, you can make me clean." This leper is desperate. Now, the leper must have heard about Jesus being the great healer. And he comes to Jesus desperate. No cure for leprosy. A little background about lepers. Lepers were the outcasts of society. Typically, they were placed in isolation camps. They call them leper camps, separated from society. And as I stated, leprosy was contagious. There's no healing, no cure, if you will, for leprosy at that time. You couldn't see loved ones. Could you imagine? Could you imagine being separated from your wife, your kids, because you have leprosy? You're in these camps, separated, rejects of society. That's how they looked at them, rejects. This person was desperate. By the way, leprosy was considered unclean according to Leviticus chapter 13. In Leviticus that chapter 13, if you had leprosy or you thought you had leprosy, you would go to the priest. You know, you had physicians then, but you had to go to the religious leader because he was the spiritual leader. And also he would be, if you will, the medical doctor who examined you for leprosy. You'd have to go to the priest and you'd be examined by the priest. He would determine whether you had leprosy or not. And if you did, you would be considered physically unclean. Physically and set apart. Not only that, but you would be, get this, spiritually unclean as well. Because there was a stigma between leprosy and sin. When you looked at a leper, you would look at sin. What does sin do? Sin destroys, sin eats, sin separates. And this is what's happening with this leper. A leper had the death sentence. It was it. It's like today. You have AIDS. Essentially, you're done. You have full-blown cancer. You imagine that. Some of you either have someone close to you or maybe someone you know of that has full-blown cancer, and there's nothing you can do. This was the leper. The leper was, if you will, a living corpse, a living dead. Look at verse 41. He begs Jesus to be healed. Look at verse 41. It says, "Then Jesus," and here it is, "moved with compassion." Look at that. "Stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him," listen to this, "I'm willing, be cleansed." I'm willing. Jesus is moved. Jesus is like, "You poor thing." When you see Jesus, you see the Father. Poor thing. I plead with you, Lord. Lord, cleanse me. Heal me. I just want to be like everybody else. I just want to see my loved ones again. I want to live, Lord. Jesus is like, I'm willing. And notice the text says, he touched him. This is somewhat unclear. You couldn't touch a leper. Jesus touched him. Can you imagine? It's probably the first time he'd been touched in a long, long time. Jesus touched him. Jesus was affectionate. That's our Lord. He touched him, moved with compassion, and he was instantly cleansed. Look at verse 42. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Immediately. Boom. Cleansed. Lepers often, because it's called Hansen's disease nowadays, it would eat at the skin and also deaden the nerves. So a leper, let's say a leper had leprosy, a severe case of it, would put his hand on a stove, he wouldn't feel it because his nerves are, they're gone, can't feel it. Probably had, wouldn't be surprised if he had just no fingers because they would eat at the flesh. Jesus touched him miraculously, fingers popped back, toes popped back. He was cleansed. Glorious. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine a crowd being there, seeing this? Who's able to do this? God the Son. Jesus is. Look at verse 43. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone. Stop right there. Gives him a warning. Don't tell anyone. Don't tell anybody. Why? Continue on. He says, but go you your way, show yourself, and here it is, to the priest, the one who diagnosed his leprosy. Go back to him and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Saying, don't tell anybody. Don't give a testimony. Don't shout. Look at me, I'm healed. You could do that later. Just go to the high priest. Why? Because according to Leviticus, the Old Testament, chapter 14, the law calls for him to go see the priest and give a testimony to the priest and say, remember when you diagnosed me? Look at me, I'm healed. As I stated earlier, there's no cure for leprosy. So you might want to say, well, why would the Lord have Leviticus 14 in the Bible to go show yourself to the priest when you're cleansed? Why? If there's no healing, why have it in there? You know why it's there, I believe? For Jesus. Can you imagine that? Leviticus chapter 14 gives details on what to do. The priest, you ought to go to the priest and you have to let him. That was written for Jesus so that he can go to the high priest and say, look me over. Remember those bandages I had over my hand? They're gone. Remember the bandages over my hand? Gone. Examine me. And then the priest would go, wow, who did this? Before anybody else went there and tried to mix up the story. He's to be the first one. But look at verse 45. However, that should tell you something. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and spread the matter so that Jesus no longer openly entered the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Go to the high priest, Mr. Leper. This guy was so thrilled, so overjoyed, that unfortunately he disobeyed the Lord. And he began telling, he's just so excited, he just began telling everybody. And what were the results? Hey man, this leper who nobody could heal is now healed? He can do that for me. We love the miracles, but what about the preaching of the gospel? What does Jesus do? The mobs begin to crowd him. It says in the text that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city. It was just mobbed with people. And then he said he went outside to a deserted place. Jesus is like, okay, because of this event, I'm going to have to separate myself because I need to get with the Father and get more information on what to do. I need time to separate because they're coming to me for the healing rather than me as the healer. And I get my message. Wow. So we see the compassion of our Lord on the outcast, the rejects of society. I want to give you a few closing points and then we'll close as the worship team comes forward. First, it's important to understand, and I pray you guys get this morning, or meditate on this. Number one, if you're a note taker, Jesus is our compassionate Savior. Do you know that? He's compassionate. Some of you may struggle with your earthly fathers. Maybe your dads weren't that compassionate. And sometimes dads aren't that compassionate. Jesus is compassionate. He's all loving, all caring. He wants you to go to him with struggles, and listen, he will love upon you. He will demonstrate his compassion and affection to you. So number one, Jesus is our compassionate Savior. Secondly, I want to point out to you that not everyone is healed. Jesus healed everybody and it was immediate, but not everyone was healed. Notice Jesus fled to different towns. He didn't stay there 24/7 and constantly heal people. We're going to see at the end, as we go through this gospel and towards the end, Jesus essentially banned sickness and disease in Israel. But eventually they died. If you're sick this morning and you are not healed and you prayed, just understand that despite what false teachers will say, God may not have plans to heal you. He may. He may. He may not. Why not trust him in the midst of it? And thirdly, seek, when it comes to healing, seek the healer, not the healing. He said, what's the difference? There's a big difference. Because sometimes we run after healings. It's time to seek the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm sick. I'm struggling. I want you, Lord, to touch me. And the Lord may touch you, may completely heal you. We have people running out to faith healers for healings rather than the healer. If you're with me, say amen. This happens a lot. This happens a lot. Seek the healer. Seek the Lord. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you so much. You're a compassionate God. And you sent a compassionate Savior that you love your people. When we hurt, you hurt. When we struggle, you struggle. You're with us. In the midst of our storms, in the midst of our physical pain, in the midst of our emotional pain, you're there and you care. And Lord, we thank you for delivering us so many times, Lord. So many times we could look back and see your deliverance. And Lord, we may be in something, Lord, that you want to deliver us from. It's just a matter of your timing. And Lord, some of us may be going through something that for some reason you've allowed us to go through so that we could learn to trust in you. God, help us to trust in you in everything, to seek you, seek your kingdom in our lives, Lord. And Lord, for anybody out there that's struggling, I pray for them, Lord, whether it's physically, emotionally, I pray you touch them, Lord. You heal them, Lord. I pray for emotional struggles, Lord, that they're going through. Lord, that you will touch them. Lord, that you'll be with them, that you will remain with them, that you'll weep with them as they weep and mourn with them as they mourn. As you carry us each and every day throughout life until we're finally with you in glory, we submit ourselves to you fully as our Lord and Savior. It's in Jesus' precious name, all of God's people said, amen. Amen.